I want to bring us into focus on something that we've accomplished over the last 15 years. We started a mortgage that started paying it back in the fall of 2004. And just in September, we paid our final payment on that mortgage. We have witnessed that maybe over the course of that period of time, and I don't have the exact figures, but somewhere around $900,000 has been paid into this account. That's including interest and everything. And you think back over 15 years, $900,000, and the commitment of our people has circulated. You can tell, in just a moment you'll be able to tell, the people that were here when this all started, the people that are currently here, and how that has been dispersed over a great number of people over the 15 years that we've been processing this mortgage. Now, we know that we knew going in that the Lord was going to provide. We did not know how, and we certainly didn't know who, but we knew that He was going to provide. So I'd like to ask if there's anybody in the sanctuary who was here 15 years ago at the beginning of this mortgage, would you please stand just to get an idea who all was here at that time? Well, that's very good. And Janet just walked in. She was here. Yes. So we've got, you may be seated. Now, the rest of you have been, I know that those folks weren't the only ones giving in to this opportunity, but I just want to say how much I appreciate you staying on board and staying connected with the Mount Pleasant Baptist Church family and helping us move through a very interesting 15 years. And I just want to take you back through some history about how the Lord has worked some miracles out in our church. If you look at the screen, I want to just kind of give you a recap of where we were up to 1996. If you look at the numbers there, we averaged about 13 baptisms a year. By the way, that's a pretty good average, and the Lord blessed us in those first 8 years. And what I want to do then is, as you can tell, from 97 to 2004, that following 8 years, from the time that in 1996, this is the teetering point, 1996, because in 1996, our church decided at that point we were going into a building program. And we had something called a feasibility study. And this was published in January of 1997. We contracted with a local architect, the Partenheimer Group, and they put together five options for our church to discover. We did not go with any of those five options. But what we did do is we went with a hybrid that combined some of them, several of them, and then we went to work with a construction crew called Rennebaum Construction. They were located out of Shelbyville. And so in 1996, we had a team of people that came together and said, we need to do something, and we need to do something about our future. There are some things in ministry we cannot do without having some options available to us. And that was agreed upon by the church. We also were only averaging about 126 people per worship. Let me tell you what happened in the following 8 years, just to give you a shadowed beginning eight, a following eight, and just to look at what happened here. We averaged 23 baptisms per year in the next 8 years after that decision was made. We also were averaging right at 161 per worship service. There were several years in that span of time that we were pushing upwards to 200. In fact, the last quarter of 2001, we were averaging 193 per worship. And so the church was in a booming, exciting period of time. We were waiting on some wonderful things to happen. And with 123 baptisms, the Lord's voice was being heard among the people. Now, I want you to know what happened in that bracket of 8 years that followed. Remember what happened in 2001? we had a crisis in our country. And it was that fall that we averaged 193 people in worship for the last 13 weeks of the year. The very next year, our yearly average was somewhere around 177 for the whole year. The Lord got a hold of us through some uncertainties in our life. But what we found at Mount Pleasant, and many churches did, is the spirit to move forward and the spirit to seek God out became obvious and very prevalent in our work at Mount Pleasant. I want to share some other statistics with you. In that period of time of 8 years, prior to to 2004, we raised $250,000 to put toward this effort. And we assumed a $600,000 mortgage that we eventually paid off. Now, a lot of the fees had to do with things that were not related to construction. It was related to building the infrastructure of our church. Like, we didn't have, we weren't hooked up to the sewage system. We weren't hooked up to city water. We had some drainage issue on the property, and we had to work all those things out. And that came close to over $100,000. It was just a little over $100,000 to get that taken care of. So we were faced with all kinds of things. And I want to tell you one thing I didn't put up here. In the first 8 years of my ministry here, we were averaging somewhere around $100,000 in our budget need. So I don't know if you've worked with these kinds of figures before, but a church that has $100,000 with 126 people on a yearly basis going into a building project like this probably wasn't something that with standard wisdom would have done. But this is what the work of the church is. You go beyond what would be conventional because you're trusting in the unconventional God. And this has been a blessing for us to see. And our church has been rewarded with so many things moving through this that I just want to make sure that we're grasping the brevity of what has happened in our ministry over the time from 1989 until today, and what we've walked through and the things that the Lord has done to help us through this process. We held on April the 13th in 2003, we had a groundbreaking service. And in that groundbreaking service, we called it Digging Deep. And we're very cute with titles, and I think that worked. I think that's probably my idea, so if it sounds corny, that's the reason it does. But we worked on the basis of something called Faith in Action. I've got the actual folder. This was the handout for people who came to the groundbreaking service, and like any good pastor, I hold on to things that were least valuable to me and relics that I think would point us back to the past. But there were so many things in this. We had a little bit of a litany going on, and we sang some songs that, by the way, were contemporary songs at the time. Esther 4:14 was used as a quote. Who can say but that we have been given this special honor for such a time as this? And Matthew 16:18, with a passion for people and their growth in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, may we lay a solid foundation. Those are truths that we hung on to. And then there was a quote that was offered just in Ephesians chapter 2, with Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone, may we rise and unite the whole building of God. And then another one that I want to share with you. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Christ, a faithful son over his house, and we are his house. And that was a conviction at the point of the time that we were going into this building program. We were standing just outside where the elevators are now on a hill that was there from the original construction of this building, and that's where the digging took place. And we got started with this sense, this picture of what God is going to do in the future, and that seems like eons ago to me, but it seems like such a short time in retrospect, as I think about all the things that has transpired and the way years fly for those of us that get older, it's it does seem like it's shorter than I really thought it was. But I want to take you again to the next picture. After the groundbreaking that fall, the structure went up rather quickly. And so in 2003, until it was in late spring of 2004, we have a picture of what the building looks like today. And my clicker's still not working. Why am I calling it a clicker anyway? So there you see the completed project in 2004. And I put March down there. I think it was more like June when that picture was taken, because the grass would not have been that green in March. But this is the picture of what we had in our minds, what we had in our hearts that God was going to give us. Not just the building, but what was going to happen in the building. And over the course of time, we have witnessed so many good things happening in this church. We have hosted so many funeral receptions and wedding receptions, where we have even had a worship service in our Family Life Center. We've created an environment in our Family Life Center, the gymnasium, if you will, where kids are getting a learning experience on their own in an environment where they can make sense of what's being said to them, and where Christ is still lifted high. The goal of our church has always been to put Christ at the center, and where His name would be above all the other things that we do. And I believe that's why our goal of 15-year mortgage was able to be reached, and that we were able to celebrate here today for that. And I think also, I must be a dead battery. I am on. Well, it takes us to the next slide, which is where we're going with this message from here on. I just want to share some things that will help us to move through. The church was faithful to God's call. Now, I know that some of you came in the midst of all of these 15 years. You weren't here when all that was started, and you got kind of in the middle of it. But we assumed the responsibility as a church body. And as you came to be part of this church family, you said, I'm willing to assume the responsibilities of what this church is doing, whether it's in the community or whether it's in the church itself, but we are housing an opportunity for a growth. And I want to put it this way. I had a little thing that was in my mind as I was searching for a way to move through some ministry and help us get a concept of what the building is for, because I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine this week about we could have worship and church anywhere in the community. We don't need a building. Does anybody want to say amen to that? Okay, if we could understand that, we don't need a building. But what a building provides is a place for us to come together in a congregate way to be able to blend as many people's lives together for worship and training. Those two things are the critical issues of a central place where people come and gather. We can lift our voice of praise to God on Sunday mornings. We can hear the Word being taught and our lives being transformed as we move toward Christ and all the holiness that God wants us to experience in our life. We are to strive for the holiness of Jesus. Faithfulness comes by our presentation of our life before God. And I want to share that passage of Scripture. If you didn't happen to see it on the slide, I want to share it with you right now. And it comes from Hebrews chapter 10. And if you look with me in Hebrews 10, I want to give you kind of an oversight of what we have learned about the faith of the people of Israel, what we've learned about our own faith as we've wandered through the wilderness in some respects, but also guided by the hand of God over these last 30 years together, especially over the last 23, as the church had a vision to do something. What did the building provide for us? The building provided an object of solidarity, if nothing else. We move toward a goal, an accomplishment, and that goal brought people together. The building was a secondary issue. It was about people that were to be coming together and to celebrating God in the midst of the tabernacle, which is today a relevance to our own heart. The tabernacle of God is us. We are God's worship place, in the center of who we are, where the Holy One was residing in the center of the Holy Holies of the building. He is now residing in the holiness of our lives. And the Bible tells us, you are the tabernacle of God. The building, then, is the focal point for where we can come and say, that's where my training begins. That's where my worship is lifted. As a body of believers, now I can worship all week long. I can worship in my home, and I should. I worship in the car, and I can worship everywhere I am. I can worship God. But when we come together as a body of believers, space gives us opportunity to share in the bounty of what God has prepared for us to go forward. And we can receive the counsel of God together. You know what's beautiful about listening to people's comments following a worship service is I hear some people say, and my grandson said it just last week, I think Grandpa was talking to me when he was in the service last week. He ought to probably sit in the service more often and talk to that kid. Cash is a great kid. He's a sensitive kid. But I hear people say, you know, that message was for me. That you were talking to me, and although the Lord was communicating that to you, that was not a sense that I brought to the message, right? So we believe that the Holy Spirit is communicating and training us individually. So when we come together, look at that. What a miracle that is, that when I say one thing or one phrase or read one scripture, it's communicated in different ways to the hearts of people's lives. No matter where you're living, no matter where you're coming from, it's fitting you specifically there. That's the miracle of God. And that's where we are at Mount Pleasant. So I want to bring this passage to you and go to you with chapter 10, verse 33. And I want to just, this 32 actually is the beginning point, and it gives us the foreground for where 35 is going to be our focus. The writer of the Hebrew letter says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Remember, over the last 15 years, just going to break this down for us. Over the last 15 years, when we were feeling like it was a struggle to meet budget, and that's been pretty much the story for the 15 years. But while we were feeling the struggle, it was God who was speaking truth into our lives, and He's got something to say here about that in just a moment. Verse 33, sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Just to cut through some of the persecution that those in the early church were going through, that we're not going through, and make it a little bit more palatable for us today. We had our doubts. We had our struggles. There were countless evenings that I felt sick about our finances because I'm just like you. I'm a human being, and sometimes I get distracted. And there are times when we go through these things that all of a sudden, we are brought back to reality in God's terms, and we realize that our greatest joy is just to sit back and watch God do the work, even when it looks like it's impossible. Because as you sang together this morning, God is at work in the impossible. And when we realize that, then we realize we're actually in His work. If it was easy, how would God get the praise? I mean, if we're not sacrificing a little bit, if we're not putting something over and beyond what we're capable, energy-wise, thought process, planning, even financial contributions, if we're not giving a little bit more than what we're able, what do we consider to be God's work in that? So I challenge us to think about this passage as a background for our own experience moving in to this time frame. And verse 35 takes us a little further and is a challenge for us today. So, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. How many of you are finished? None of us are. Yeah, I know I wasn't very clear. Are you done doing God's work? No. I should have been more clear with that. I didn't count those hands up here. Yeah. Although I may have to talk to you later about that. We're not done, are we? No. So if we listen to these words, I love the way the New Living Translation says it. Don't throw away your confident trust in the Lord. We might have accomplished and gone through something that the Lord has worked out in our lives after 15 years, but it's not time to stop. It's not time to stop. There are things ahead of us that God is still wanting to do. In fact, I believe God might even be saying, "Do I have your attention yet? Because time is still moving. The world is still needing a Savior, and you're still my children. You're still the body of Christ. You're the visible image of the risen Savior. You are still at work with me." So don't throw away that confident trust, because it's going to have to come back into play. In fact, it starts today. It started September the 16th after we made that last payment. It is something we need to hear today, because there is some great work yet to be done. In fact, if we were getting bullet points on this, and there's the first one, proceed with confident trust. Proceed trusting God and who He is and what He has shown you in the past. That's the God we've seen at work. No matter how much struggle, and no matter how many of us have felt like, "I've been giving more than most people," that should never come into the play and into the picture as we think about this. If you gave more, it's because God needed you to step up. And if you've worked harder than anybody else in this church, it's because God needed you at that time. And if you felt like you were all alone, and some of us have, then God needed you to walk through that wilderness while He worked on other people's lives. I love that the wording that is chosen here from the Hebrew writer, patient endurance. Wow. That means we're going to have to endure something while we wait patiently, right? That means it's not going to be easy. That means that if we are going to think that it's going to be an easy road now, then forget about it. Because there's still suffering that's taking place. There are still souls that need to be saved. There are places in our own community that needs Mount Pleasant Baptist to step into. There are people in this congregation who are still working on their goal, their path, their gift for God. And you may be wrestling with something here real soon, because God's going to have to put you in place. And He's waiting on you. So let's go finish this off. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you'll continue to do God's will. I love when He says, "Remember the great reward it brings you." In verse 35, God moves, doesn't He? I mean, if you don't believe that, then just look around you, because God moves us. God moves circumstances in our lives. He moves the enemy. He is in charge of the world. God moves time. God creates opportunity. And if we believe that God is putting those places together, then that's the success we need to step into. It isn't anything we necessarily have done, but it's the obedience that we have been in. God's been faithful. And the bottom line of this reward that God is talking about is the joy that was mentioned in verse 34. "You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail, and when all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. Why would we do that? Because in the first century, the people of God knew that if suffering was brought about because of their faith, that they must be in the right place, that their heart must be leaning on the right one, that their trust value must be focused in the right direction. And that brought joy. Only if we could get there. And I think some of us are there, but some of us are not. So remember the reward, because it brings the increased joy in your life today, but also the hope that's guaranteed when we go to heaven. He would continue to teach us in this passage to stay in God's will, nowhere else. If I'm being beaten or tormented, or if I'm struggling with anxiety and stress because I'm living in the will of God, then let it be so, because I'd rather live in the will of God with that than outside of the will of God, with everything at peace. Receive His great promises. The term I was looking for earlier when I was talking about the training in our building, that our building was really a place for worship and training, was we could call this building the storehouse of God, the storehouse of ministry, where all of us are bringing in our gifts and talents, our motivations, our encouragement, our life stories, our journeys. We bring that all together in a one big place like this, and then when we gather together, we are a unit, a believing body of Christ that is a unit. But we come together to be trained for the next stage, the next phase, the next step. Because none of us have arrived yet. The Apostle Paul, for crying out loud, hadn't arrived yet. He says, I don't claim to have gotten there yet, but I press forward to the upward calling of Christ Jesus. I keep moving on. And there's that word, press forward, that reminds us that it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But that's what reminds us that it's God's work. Because nothing is going to be easy, because God's working through a world that doesn't want to hear it, that doesn't want to do it, that doesn't want to recognize it. There is an attitude among the world about Christians that says Christians are judgmental, they're hypocritical, they're money-driven. All the things, because there are big churches and pastors that get paid a lot of money, and there's things going on in the church that reminds us that the church is broken and failing and those kinds of things. That's what the world sees, and that's the highlight that they bring up to us. But the bottom line is that we're broken people working for a saving grace God who wants to put us in the midst of the world that's also broken and say, look, I found something and I want to share it with you. Because I don't have to be broken anymore, and neither do you. I can be whole in the name of Christ. I can be God's servant, working in God's place. That's what this building has meant to this church. In 1966, this community moved into this structure that we're in right now. From a little white frame building, catty-cornered across the street over here on Mills Road, where there's a graveyard, or I should say cemetery. And that little white frame building stood there from 1860 till they tore it down in 1967, or whatever, shortly after they moved into this building. So the Lord has been faithful with this church through so much. And He's not done, not finished with us. There is a call to faithfulness. And I know that last slide comes up again. It's going to remind us that we are in the faithful journey of God together. You know, I know you want to breathe a sigh of relief that we no longer have a mortgage. But I'd like to ask you to dream with us about what the next stage is. Pray about where God can take this church over the next decades. How will He use you? Where is your gift? And what will happen as we move forward? You know, one big sign of complacency is not doing anything more. That is also a sign of deterioration. That's a sign of, well, let's just put it in old age. What happens when we sit in front of the TV all day? We die. Yeah. Yeah. Or we lose our energy. It gets harder to move when we get older, but if we relax, then we start creaking and cracking when we finally get up, and then we don't want to get up anymore. So we just lay back down. And if we stay dormant, the doctor keeps telling me, you got to be active. You got to be active. You got to keep moving. So I'm telling you, before you reach the death of this church, we got to keep moving. Got to stay active. Got to dream about new things and about new opportunities and ways to reach pockets of people we've not reached yet. Something that we can encourage this community with that is like a light to the community and salt of the earth. It's you that are those things. You are the beacon. You are the salt. Don't hide it. Don't keep it to yourself. Let's spread it. I'd like to hear those ideas. Write them down. Give them to me. Let's sort it out. And let's just say this. If we were averaging, and we probably are back to around 120 some a year, and if our mortgage or if our giving ratio is down from what it was just a few years ago, which it probably is, would you be willing to tackle a major project? I don't have a dream about that other than the transition house that I mentioned some time ago, but if we're working for God, where's the limitation? And do you see it that way? Now, I know there have probably been some minds thinking right now saying, oh, John, you didn't just say that. Yeah, I did. I think now it's time to pray. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing on this. We can call it all in, take a break, and just see how we can live in some peacetime right now without the burden of complications that might come with having to be patiently enduring something. But that sounds like a backward step to me, Father. So I pray that you would move us boldly into places we've never dreamed of yet. That we can see some wonder take place for the generations that are coming up in our Sunday school rooms. The ages of kids that are meeting right now, when they're faced with adulthood, will they be the elders of our church that have been expanding the gospel in this community? Will they be the worship leaders and Sunday school teachers? What are we leaving for them as a legacy? And I think you've done a marvelous work through this church, just as we look back a little bit. And I pray that work will continue. And we ask this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now, as we close, this invitation time is for anyone who feels like you have to make things right with God. You have to get on board with Jesus. And if you have never asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, I want to ask you to do that this morning with sincerity. If it's nothing that you're thinking about, don't play the part. Wait till it's real. But if you've been struggling with this, don't waste another day. Don't waste another hour. For those of you who are looking for a place to plug in and you want to be officially part of the leadership and the guiding factor of this church with a voice that says, I want to be part of it. I just want to be part of it going forward. This would be a great time to say, Pastor, I would like to join Mount Pleasant Baptist. I'd like to be a full-fledged member. Then I invite you to come. Maybe you're struggling with something. You need prayer. I'll be up here. There's elders nearby that can come and help me with those who have prayer, if there's a list or a long line of folks that need help that way. But listen, this is the breaking ground of a new day for Mount Pleasant. This is opportunity. In just a few moments after this is over, we're going to burn the mortgage in front of you. And we're going to do it on the carpet. No, we've got some provision for that. But wouldn't you like to see some things? Wouldn't you like to see the church catch on fire? I'm not talking about the building. What about you? Would you like to be a flaming resemblance of Christ Jesus? Just not a burning ember, but an ember, but a flame that is seeking something to make light and joy and presence of God with fragrance in the air that could be acceptable in His presence. Let it be so. Let's stand and let's sing.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy, bought with blood, wholeheartedly, my soul undeserving.
God, you're so